Listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
On the line right now, an absolute AFL legend, four-time premiership player, 329 games under his belt, Brownlow medalist, Sam Mitchell. Good morning, mate.
Yes, how are you going? Good morning.
Full disclosure, I am a Hawthorn supporter. I may live here in the southwest, I cop it all the time, but absolute pleasure to be chatting to you, mate, and I am looking forward to reading this brand new book of yours, Relentless, mate.
Yes, hopefully it sells a few copies and can be a little bit of a an experience for Hawthorn fans, but also for people with, you know, children growing up through the system and some of the pitfalls that are a part of that, and hopefully it encourages a few people to hang in there.
Absolutely, mate. I mean, there are going to be plenty of stories going through it. I think one of the most interesting ones would definitely be about that trade, about you going to the Eagles. And I understand you cover that all in the book.
Yes, I do, in quite a lot of detail. It's one of the more interesting stories, especially when I thought that perhaps Alistair Clarkson wanted to talk to me about moving from the midfield to halfback, but instead he was thinking about trading me over to West Coast. So quite the change of plans in a very short period of time. So that's all covered really heavily in the book and gone through a lot of detail. So if you're a Hawks or an Eagles fan, hopefully you'll get something out of that.
And I heard also Hodgie sent you a cheeky text while all that was happening as well.
Yeah, Hodgie, when the trade went through, I got the simple text from Hodgie saying, "Did you just get traded for pick 88? And then when he got traded a year later, I think his only prerequisite when he spoke to them was, "So long as I'm traded for a pick better than pick 88, then I'll be happy."
Yeah, that sounds like Luke Hodge for sure. Was it weird sitting down and reflecting on your whole career?
It was. I started work on the book in about 2012, so I did work on it for quite a long period of time, and it was interesting to see how it changed. I continued to edit it and work on it through that period, and when I got to the final points and finally doing it, I did have to change significant portions because I had matured a little bit, and I'm sure if I had another couple of years, it might change a bit more in two more years. So there's always plenty of water that goes under the bridge, and I did work on it for quite a long period, so it was not all loaded into a six-month time frame.
No, that's great. I mean, you've had a hell of a career working both under Adam Simpson and Alistair Clarkson. What's the difference between the two coaches for you?
They both coach, the game plans are reasonably different. And the way that they manage their people and their staff, I was closer on a personal level with Adam Simpson. I guess as a player, I came in quite young with Alistair Clarkson. So the relationships are different, and the way that they handle their people is quite different. But both, I think both coaches, the way they go about their, how they look after their people and how loyal they are to the people within their organisation is a significant strength of both of the coaches.
Before I let you go, got to talk about the hot issue. Talking about you leaving the Eagles, a lot of Eagles supporters are saying, "Why do you want to leave us?" What can you tell us?
Well, it's not that I want to leave. It's actually, look, I just need to live in Melbourne for family, and so I have to do that. And unfortunately, that means working for West Coast is a reasonably difficult task. So living in Melbourne is where my future is, and it's very, very hard to get yourself into a top two position with a month of the season to go. So I couldn't be more committed to what I'm trying to do at West Coast and what we're trying to achieve here.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully you can get the win with West Coast this year. Mate, thank you so much for the time today. And everyone needs to check out this book, Relentless. Mate, I appreciate the chat today.
No worries. Thanks very much. You enjoyed that.
Sam Mitchell there, absolute AFL legend, and unfortunately sounds like he's pretty set on leaving the West Coast Eagles as the assistant coach. His book, but Relentless, you can get a copy of it right now. I've started reading through a little bit of it. He does touch on the Eagles quite a bit, so definitely pick it up for yourself.
It's the food you grew up with. The food that moulded you. The food that gave you those love handles. It's your Local Eats.
Yes, and Danny Drummond joins me in the studio right now to talk all things Local Eats. And, mate, you've been cooking up a storm. What is this? This is fantastic.
This is our cardamom chicken, Alan.
Cardamom chicken.
I figured you've had that many palmies, I would slip in a chicken dish that didn't have tomato and cheese on it.
It was a bit rare and weird seeing no, like, I was like, "Where's the palmy?" Like, this is amazing, but it's Indian, isn't it?
Is it, it is. Indian, yeah, kind of, it's cuisine? Indian cuisine. It's not your standard Indian cuisine because it doesn't have all of those, you know, normal sort of candidates in there, like the cumin and the coriander seed and all that sort of stuff, or turmeric or any of those sort of things. It basically is cardamom flavoured with some garlic and some coconut.
Yeah, I get the coconut and the garlic as well. I love, you know me, I love garlic. This is fantastic. And it's one of the, it looks like a real wintry kind of dish. Oh, and it tastes beauty. Like a real wintry kind of dish.
So good. The sauce is made up essentially too with yogurt, but the trick to it is you've got to blitz it because it splits when you cook it.
Oh.
So you got to blitz it.
There you go. Because, I don't try to do anything advantageous when it comes to yogurt. I always, I mess it up. I eat yogurt.
Yeah, it's good with a berry on top of it.
Well, that's about it. That's about as elaborate as I dare go with it. Hey, you've been very busy. You actually catered our awards that we had on last Friday. Yeah. I saw you working hard behind the scenes there, getting it done. Fantastic.
Busier than
food,
a one-armed fiddler with the crabs on. I was moving fast.
I had Aaron Evans, the guy that used to work here as my producer. He was my plus one on the night, and you did like a plate drop, so one beef, one chicken. I ate about a little bit of the chicken, but because I had a palmy that day, I was pretty full. I was like, oh, this is amazing. I got up, and he finished it for me. I didn't even, he'd finished his beef, and he finished the chicken. He's like, oh, it's so good to be eating. Daddy's cooking again.
He's
nom,
a
nom,
machine,
nom.
That well. That lad is a machine. He can eat.
Yeah, he really, really can. So well done with that.
Yeah, no, any, good know. Night. What a cracking night, though, really. Yeah. I mean, how beautiful did the venue look? And everything was just fantastic. Really good.
No, it was really, really good. I understand also you're on the hunt right now for a new staff member.
I am. We're looking because we're in winter.
Mm-hmm.
So things are a bit slower in winter, as you would expect.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're looking at a very busy summer season. So we are on the hunt for an apprentice or two.
Oh,
so if there's anyone out there and they're getting towards the end of their schooling and they think they want to cook for a living, we've got a great opportunity because we can put them through all varieties of cooking, from catering through to a la carte through to the wild bull style with the wood-fired pizzas.
Yeah.
You learn all aspects of food service with
and
us.
And you don't have a lazy menu where it's just that's what it is and it always stays like that. You're constantly changing it, so they're constantly going to be learning new things. That's really cool. That's a great opportunity. How do they get in touch? Just call up the Wild Bull Brewery?
Yeah, or they can call my mobile, 0417 424 999.
Perfect, mate.
That just number again, Alan?
Yep, go for it.
0417 424 999.
We'll just give Wild Bull Brewery a cheeky Google.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that our age group we're aiming towards is the high school ones. They don't know what a mobile phone number is. They're like, just
no,
Google
it's
what, Facebook
text, it. Isn't it?
It's all text, mate. You get some text messages.
Does anyone
coming.
Have a home phone anymore? Does that exist? We don't either.
No, I don't have a reason. Sorry, Telstra. Also, just quickly wrap it up as well. This weekend, Wild Bull Brewery.
That's the one.
Get my Aaron Evans voice on now. Wild Bull Brewery. Big weekend. Obviously, lots happening, but you've got the El Cubano burger happening.
That's the introduction of our new burger, the El Cubano, which is a Cuban-influenced burger, which has got two crumbed pork cutlets in it with smoked ham, pickles, extra, extra cheese, and our get-out-of-town hot chili sauce.
All right, I'll take it. Sounds good. Of course, that happening is so much more at the Wild Bull Brewery.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm just going to do that from now on every time I say it. Daddy, thanks for the food, mate, and thanks for the chat. I appreciate it.
Mate, love it.
I have already heard the news, but Coles yesterday announced that they're going to be doing a bit of a backflip in regards to the single-use plastic bags. They've got rid of the thin ones, but instead what they're going to be doing is giving away these thicker ones that are meant to be used for more than one single use. Instead of charging 15 cents for them, they're going to be continuing to give them away for free. We don't know for how long. Could be forever. Could be another month. We actually have no idea. A lot of people upset about it. This man that I have on the line right now was on the project last night expressing his opinion. Jeff Angel, legendary environmentalist and director of the eco organization Boomerang Alliance. Mate, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, the fact is that these so-called thicker bags are really only a little bit thicker than the lightweight bags that they said they were getting rid of a month ago. So now we have slightly thicker bags out for free and they'll be polluting the environment just as much as the other ones were.
Have you had a good thorough look at the thicker bags? Because I don't really see much of a difference at all. And you're right, single use is pretty much the exact same way they're going to be treated.
Yeah, and that's occurring for two reasons. One, of course, they've eliminated the 15 cents. It was a bit of a price incentive to encourage people to reuse those bags.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, there is more plastic in this bag, so there is now going to be more plastic being put into the environment.
Why do you think Coles made the backflip? They're saying it's because of consumers. Do you think that's 100% truthful?
Well, obviously, there's been a minority of consumers who have been finding it a bit difficult to adjust to the transition. but frankly, I think the reason is that Coles and its board are gutless and they don't care about the environment. And I think the thing they have to understand is that the plastic pollution issue is not going away. It's getting bigger and bigger in people's minds. It's getting more and more government regulatory attention. And Coles has put a big target on its back.
Because there is legislation in place saying that we're not meant to be using single-use bags. Does that mean that Coles are technically breaking the law?
No, because the law only applies to those thinner, lightweight bags.
Oh.
Now, one of the important elements of the New South Wales law, and I understand in the WA law that's coming, has been put in place, is a minister can take action to also ban these thicker bags, so-called thicker bags, if they're causing environmental problems. And quite clearly they will be.
Yeah, well, if they're going out for free, then absolutely.
That's the problem, you know. If they're going out for free, there is no signal to reuse it.
Yeah.
And by reuse, you know, Coles in particular blabs on about, oh, it's got recycled content and it's reusable. The key element is, is it reused, you know, not the theoretical construct of reusable.
Yeah, well, technically a plastic water bottle that you when you buy from the shops is reusable, but no one ever does that.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, you know, and the price signal was an important driver of the actual act of reusing, not the PR from Coles.
Thank you for the chat today, and some great points there.
Thank you very much.
Trends, brands, advertising. Marketing man Barry Urquhart
on Triple M.
Yes, and I have the man on the line, Barry Urquhart. Good morning, how are you?
Oh, I'm exceedingly well, albeit a little bit cold this morning, Alan.
Yeah, that seems to be the general theme right across the southwest end, where you are as well. Today we're going to talk about part-time employment.
Yeah, for the first time in 189 years since the Swan River Colony was founded, we've reached a milestone. Over 50% of Australian, and more particularly West Australian employees, are now part-time and casual. And of course, that has very significant implications for parents advising children who, well, if you've got to go out, get an education, get qualifications, and is there a career path? But then it's the unintended consequences with part-time and casual employment is that if you want to get onto the ladder of home ownership, are you going to qualify to get a home loan? Many of the banks are turning down those sort of opportunities.
Absolutely. I had the same thing. Before I got into radio, I was thinking about it. I've never, ever had a full-time job. I did casual straight out of high school, and then I was doing part-time employment just prior to doing radio. So until I got the radio gig, I'd never had full-time employment despite doing full-time hours.
And see, I think we're going towards that type of situation where the Americans have internships where they kind of give you work experience without necessarily an income, purely and simply to get your feet in the door so that you're getting to know people, and more particularly people are getting to know you in the hope that you'll eventually be appointed in a full-time position. But I think it also highlights the apprehension that people have and the lack of confidence in businesses who are now seeing so much dramatic change. And this is the Amazon and the digital disruption coming in and saying, if I'm going to lock a person into an apprenticeship, it may not be 5 years as it was in the past, but it could be 3 or 4 years. Is my business going to be around? And is it going to be doing the volume that it is at the moment in 3 or 4 years' time? So there's apprehension across the board.
Absolutely. Where is the trend going? Are we hiring more and more part-time and casuals? Are we seeing more full-times getting hired?
Oh, look, we're certainly getting more. Well, this is an interesting sort of point because the figures of unemployment aren't truly reflective. There's almost twice as many people underemployed as what there are unemployed.
Yeah.
And that's a reflection of the fact that people are getting part-time employment, casual employment, but they want to work 40 hours a week, 36 hours a week, or 30 hours a week, can't get those cumulative hours, and therefore it's that type of situation where people say, I'm not enjoying the lifestyle, and therefore, you've seen it already, the number of bankruptcies in Australia in the last 12 months, and that's personal bankruptcies, exceeded 32,000. In fact, there were 3,700 West Australians who were declared bankrupt last year, and the highest rate of bankruptcy in Australia was in Baldiva, south of Perth, not too far north of the southwestern Bunbury.
There you go. Very, very interesting. It's a shame to hear that, but no real surprise with the economy the way it currently is that people don't want to back people in by giving them full-time employment and committing to the amount of hours they give them every week.
Alan, I think that what we've got to do is to sit down as parents and have our children counseled to say, if you're going to educate yourself, if you're going to go into university or into trade education, will there be employment in the past? Because it's the fly-in, fly-out phenomenon that has fallen back. But in the mining industry, it's all about subcontraction, and that might be a subject that we could speak about next week.
Absolutely. Well, Barry, thank you for the chat today. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you very kindly for the opportunity, Alan.
And I've got the Mayor of Busselton on the line, Mr. Grant Hanley. Good morning, mate. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, all your listeners.
And you've been very busy lately. I mean, event-wise, we just had the Chevron City to Surfer Active. That seemed like it had a huge attendance.
Yeah, we lucked in with the weather for that one and had a pleasant stroll, and some people did some great runs.
Absolutely.
And all for a good cause.
Yeah, and that's it. Always for a good cause. I understand that you're currently in Perth at the moment accepting a ton of awards and nominations.
Yeah, just picked up award in the realm of public health, so to do with promoting activity in our young people.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. You guys have always got stuff coming up. Speaking of which, what have we got coming up?
Yeah, so a great event for the young and not so young is the Pedal Pre, which is a great event down on the foreshore, coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
Excellent.
And then the creative and cultural side with City Festivals.
Oh, geez. Yeah, looking forward to that. They've got the big names announced for it this year.
Yeah, so Sigrid Thornton, an iconic Australian actor of film and screen. Yeah, she'll be on the judging panel. Our own Emma Booth, Miles Pollard, David Wenham coming back. So, yeah, some of those faces around town, and which makes it a very exciting event for the whole region.
Absolutely, mate. Well, thanks for the chat today, and looking forward to all these events.
Yeah, look forward to catching you at some of those.
Absolutely, I'll be there for sure. Thanks, mate. Grant Henley there, the Mayor of Busselton. And yeah, so much going on in Busso. Literally, just go to their Facebook page. You'll find everything you could need to find. An Australian Survivor has kicked off another season with contenders taking on champions. And I have a former Survivor contestant on the line, Australian Survivor contestant Kat. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning. I'm really well. I can't believe we've got season 3 on our screens. It's freaking exciting.
Last night's episode, we had a little bit of everything setting up what's going to be a very exciting season, I think. What were some of the highlights for you?
It was really interesting. I'm really excited to see how these champs play it out. I mean, at the start, they've seemed that they aren't super survivor savvy. Mm-hmm. And with someone like Russell in your tribe, like, oh, guys, look out. Like, he literally is the king. So I think that dynamic is going to be really interesting to see, you know, what happens there. But I'm quite interested by the contenders. I think it's a really interesting mix. But the highlight for me was Matt's paranoid rant at Tribal. Like, dude, your name wasn't even on the chopping block. But it just shows you what the game does to you out there. Like, paranoia is real. And, you know, for some reason, he just got spooked and thought that everyone was out to get him, when in fact, you know, Steve was the one who was meant to be going home.
Yeah.
So
he freaked
out. It's always
out.
Funny. Paranoia does crazy things to you.
Is that what it was like when you were there? You just had this paranoia constantly rolling and rolling around in your head?
Yeah, well, totally. You know, you're with strangers and you put your trust in someone from day one and you're like, okay, what I'm telling you and what you're hearing, you know, could be completely two different things. And then, you know, it's really hard because you don't really know what's going on. And you try and understand and you try and get a feel for where you're sitting in the game and with your alliances. But at the end of the day, like, paranoia is real. It's like you really never feel safe.
Yeah, 100%. Russell, I think a lot of people understand what he is, but he's a legend in the game. In the American Survivor, this guy has made it right to the very end. The only reason why he didn't win it is because he burnt people so badly when they did the final jury. He didn't win it because they still had a grudge, it felt like. Let's talk about his clothing, but were you surprised with what he was wearing, with a hat and like a leather vest and boots?
oh my God, his cowboy boots. I was like, dude, this is your fourth time playing. In what world are they going to be helpful? I mean, yes, they'll probably keep his feet warm at night, which is a bonus, but so impractical.
Yep.
But I did think, I was like, damn, they're a good place to hide an idol, like stuff them right down the end and no one will ever know. But yeah, that's Russell, you know, that's the way he is with his little hat and his vest. But yep. Yeah, I didn't actually like the jeans and,
no.
you know, his undies hanging out the back combo. That wasn't that fab. But, yeah, yeah, that's just him to a T.
I got a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more of that, unfortunately, with the undies hanging out the back.
Oh, I hope not.
Who do you like so far?
You know, I didn't want to like him, but Steve Willis, I am thinking is going to do really well. I just thought his answer to Jonathan's question before the first challenge was really good. He was really raw. He was honest. He showed that, you know, he isn't the commando. That's just his persona, and he's actually there to play the game. So I really liked that. I think Anita and Shawnee and Fenella are going to provide us with some hilarious, you know, I just think they're going to be great on the Contenders Tribe. I think they're really great. But to be honest, there's more people that I didn't like in episode one than that I didn't like. There was just some of the boys. I'm like, oh, dear Lord, it's Rowan 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it all pans out.
Yes, so am I. Well, thanks for the chat today, Kat. I do appreciate it.
No worries. Enjoy the rest of the season, guys.
Kat there. And we will be chatting to the man that was sent home last night that did have his little tantrum right before going, Matt, don't go anywhere. We saw the premiere of Australian Survivor Contenders versus Champions. Oh, geez. And what an episode it was. I happen to have the poor individual that was sent home first on the line. Matt, how are you, mate?
Great. How are you?
You sound happy. Watching it last night, were you sitting there like face-palming the whole episode?
No, not at all. Look, I went into that tribal council. I was in big trouble. I know it didn't show that, but it was definitely always going to be out of me and Stevie. And, you know, there was a big chance Stevie had an idol as well. And the rest is history.
Yeah, absolutely. You did put up a bit of a fight towards the end. In past history, we've seen American Survivor. Police officers generally do pretty well.
Yeah, there's obviously been a couple of winners, and there's been a few that haven't done too well. But yeah, look, it was an interesting stage. I think just for myself, I mean, I was only there for 2 days, obviously, and in that 2 days, it's all about you know, who you connect with straight away. And, and look, I didn't have anything in common with the three big blokes, which I ended up, you know, obviously calling the Bromance Alliance. I mean, they clicked from the first hour or two on the island. I mean,
yep.
And I couldn't have even predicted how close and how strong that alliance got so quickly. I mean, it really did. And I don't think last night's episode showed that at all, exactly how strong that alliance was. So, and unfortunately, and there was a few other little, the girls had a few, their little alliance going. And unfortunately, then there was me and Stevie and it was always going to be, obviously, me and him at Tribal Council.
Yeah, so if it wasn't going to be you this week, it would have been you the next elimination.
Oh, look, and that's the thing. Like, that's right. If it wasn't me, if it wasn't me last night, it would have obviously I would have had a lot of work to do. And the thing was, too, Stevie, you got to understand, he was looking for an idol nearly 90% of the time in those 2 days. I mean, he was going hard, and I only started looking for that idol 2 hours before Tribal because I thought, well, when I realised it was definitely either going to be me and him, that's when I decided, I had to make a decision. And I thought, you know, I knew he was looking for an iron. I thought, well, if he finds it anyway, I'm going home no matter what. So obviously I went and looked for that idol. And once I did that, well, then if I didn't find it, I knew I was really going to be in trouble. So
yeah, absolutely, mate. Watching the episode back, you did call the girls out for not playing the game. Do you think they played the game when you got to actually watch it back, or you stand by your comments?
Yeah, look, the thing was, it was only really a couple of them. I mean, what you didn't also see last night is Tegan was very close with the Bromance Alliance, and that we didn't get to see last night, unfortunately. But you know, Tegan's playing a very smart and hard game, and I actually called her out on that as well. But she was in with the Bromance Alliance as well, and unfortunately, just in those first 2 days, you know, a few of the girls were flying under the radar, and you know, that's the way they wanted to play it that early on, and it worked for them, so good on them.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Now, who do you back? Are you back in the contenders or are you back in the champions?
Oh, look, contenders all the way. And how good would it be to see Stevie go on now? And like I said at Tribal, he is a game player. I told him that to his face. I told him I respect it. He's a nightmare to play with. He'll be fantastic to watch. And I'm definitely now Team Stevie. Would love to see him really shake up this game and like you said, battle these champions as well and take them down one at a time. Love. I think it'll be fantastic viewing. And I'm backing Stevie all the way.
Excellent, mate. Thanks for the chat.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Matt there, sent home from Survivor last night. It's on again tonight on Win. Don't miss it right now, T-Rex. Well, you can bump in grass.